Previously on Heroes.
I'll only be gone for a while. This is your chance at a normal life.
Well, welcome to New Orleans.
Is that pay-per-view?
Like it's some type of genius and rigged the cable.
God, here comes Mysterio!
I took everything you got in the rest!
Monica takes out a robber with a wrestling move she saw on TV.
Andor.
Andor discovers a message concealed in the handle to Keizo Kensei's sword. It's from Hero and reads, I write to you from the greatest adventure of my life. I'm sorry, Andor, I can't come home. Not yet.
Kensei!
You don't realize how valued you are here at the company. You're part of the family now.
I'm in over my head.
As long as I'm alive, you will be taken care of.
Peter!
This here's everything you had on you when we found you.
Your box, your life, you gonna open it or what?
Kato Nakamura murdered. Angela Petrelli attacked. This is my dad. He may be the killer.
I'll find your father.
Molly, what's the apartment number?
9.
Good girl. All right, get out of there right now.
He sees me.
Get out of there.
Later.
Molly! Please wake up.
When confronted by our worst nightmares, the choices are few. Fight or flight. We hope to find the strength to stand against our fears. But sometimes, despite ourselves, we run. What if the nightmare gives chase? Where can we hide then?
Okay, when's she gonna wake up?
I don't know, she's burning up.
All right, we gotta get her to a hospital.
No hospital's equipped to deal with this.
Do you really think my father did this to her? In her nightmare?
She used her ability to find him for you and slipped into this.
She was so afraid. I never should have asked her to look for him.
No, you shouldn't have. But now you know where he is.
I can't just leave her like this.
You have to. If your father did something to her, you need to find out what and how to end it. You have an address in Philadelphia. She even saw his door.
I haven't seen the man in 25 years.
Molly faced her worst nightmare for you. Do the same for her. Find him. I'll stay here with her. I'll do everything I can.
I don't even know what I'm dealing with. Why was he in that photo? And Angela Petrelli. She knows him. You're gonna be okay. I promise.
Monica's explaining events at the restaurant to a police officer.
I was about to lock up when this guy showed up. He pushed his way in, shoved a gun in my face. Next thing I know, he's flying through that glass.
You hit an armed man?
I guess. Could have been a kick. I don't know, it all happened so fast.
Is this the guy?
He shows her a picture of the man who attacked her.
His name is Lonnie Stills. He's a local gangbanger. He's already hit 3 other fast food joints in the area this month. It fits his MO.
Like I said, it's all a blur.
Look, I know you don't want to be a snitch. It's dangerous. But in order for me to get this guy off the street, I need somebody to step up and ID him, be a hero.
I'm sorry. I can't do that.
You know, I can't help a neighborhood that won't help itself. You change your mind, you give me a call.
Caitlin is locking up the pub in Cork Island.
Closing up already? It's the middle of the afternoon.
I need a break.
She and Peter Petrelli share a passionate kiss.
I could get used to this.
Right. A guy can throw 1,000 volts out of either hand. Settling for everyday life in a pub in Cork. I'm not sure it suits you.
Why not?
Peter, just because you don't remember your past, it doesn't mean you don't have one. Aren't you curious about who you are, where you come from?
You see what I can do. There's a side of me that I can't control. Maybe it's best if I don't dig too deep.
I know the kind of man you are. Even if you don't, there's only good in you. And I bet whatever's in that box will tell you the same thing.
Weren't you the one who didn't want me to look in that box?
I only said that because you hadn't kissed me yet.
He gathers her up in his arms.
Now that you have, you done with me?
Getting there. After all, a pretty boy like you, there's bound to be someone looking for you. Friends, a girlfriend.
Let him look.
Will steps out of a storage container like the one they found Peter in.
Like I told you, you're not gonna find him in there.
A blonde woman follows him out.
But you're sure it was him?
Yeah. Found him cuffed inside here a few nights back. Poor sap. Didn't know how he got there. Didn't even know his own name.
Do you know where he is now?
Depends. Who's asking?
Just me. I work for a company interested in keeping him out of trouble. Peter is a dangerous guy.
You don't have to tell me that. He's in town. A place called Wandering Rocks Pub. Hey, if you're so dangerous, sweetheart, why'd they send a little girl like you in all alone?
The woman smiles sweetly back at Will, then steps around the corner.
I can take care of myself.
Crackling blue lines of electricity dance from her fingertips. Heroes, created by Tim Kring. Chapter 5, Fight or Flight. Petrelli and Parkman, Manhattan Police Station.
Bring her back to holding.
What do you think you're doing interrogating my mother without me?
Relax. She didn't give me anything.
Of course she didn't give you anything. These people protect each other. My mother's not a killer. I'm not gonna have her sit in jail for a crime she didn't commit.
Neither am I. That's why I'm going to Philadelphia. See my father. Figure this whole thing out.
Let me come with you.
No. You're not a cop.
Listen, I'm guessing this isn't official police business. So if I'm there, it won't really make a difference, because officially, neither are you.
You don't understand. It's Molly. My father did something to her. She's in trouble.
What do you mean, did something to her?
Come here.
Did what?
He got inside her head somehow. I don't know how he did it, but I think it's all connected. To Kaido, to your mother. It could be dangerous.
I can take care of myself. Listen, I have to do this. Let me come with you.
Fine. You'll probably get there faster. You know, because you can,
I'm not a cargo jet.
Please.
Ricky walks into the pub with another man.
I need to talk to him. Alone. Tell him what you told me.
Peter comes to stand in front of him.
And this American girl, sitting all the boys on the dock, is looking for a certain shipping container.
She said what she wanted?
Yeah. You.
Peter looks unnerved, and the man heads out.
No worries, Boyle. You think I can help?
This is my problem.
Not given what I just saw between you and my sister. You care about her, don't you?
Right now, she's the only thing in my life that means something.
Caitlin has a flat up the hill. Go there and stay until I call you. I'll take care of your friend.
But I can handle this myself.
I don't doubt it. I've seen what you can do. But I've got an investment in you now. And some little blonde isn't going to scare me off. Now, go on. And don't be telling Caitlin about any of this. She'll only worry sick.
Camille comes out of the back of the restaurant.
Monica. Well?
Well, what?
Well, are you gonna tell me what that was all about?
I just didn't want some crackhead looking for revenge, so I said I didn't recognize
him. No, not that. I'm talking about the whole flying karate kick thing.
Oh. That.
Mr. Lamont said he has never seen anything like it. How did you do that? More importantly, why did you do that?
I don't know anything anymore. Nothing makes any sense.
Well, where did you learn how to...
I think on TV. Something is happening to me, Camille. My body does things before my brain even knows what's happening. That thing with the tomatoes yesterday. Now this, it's like...
Like what?
I was supposed to be somebody, Camille. The first person in my family to go to college. Now look at me. You know what? Never mind. I've been here since last night. I'm just gonna go home and sleep it off.
Hey, Monica. Everything's gonna be okay. Okay?
Matt and Nathan are approaching apartment number 9.
All right, this is it. This is where Molly said we'd find him.
What are you planning exactly?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? He's traumatized your girl. Has my mother terrified. You better get your gun out. Come on. Hey, you okay?
When I was 13, my father ran out on us. I haven't talked to him. I haven't seen him. I've spent half my life thinking about what I'm gonna say to this guy if I ever got the chance, and now I can't even knock on the door.
You're welcome. Parkman, this is not a family reunion.
I know.
Okay, he's not your dad today. He's a suspect. Get your gun out.
Police, open up!
Who the hell are you? I said, who the hell are you?
Put the gun down and I'll tell you.
Parkman.
Matt? Oh my God, what are you doing here?
Put the gun down.
Not till you tell me what the hell you're doing here.
I don't want to know what you're doing inside Molly Walker's dreams.
Who?
And what do you know about Kata Nakamura's murder?
Well, while we're at it, why is Angela Petrelli protecting you?
What? Ah! Ow! Wait! What are you, a cop?
Ah! Right now I'm not, so you better start talking.
I'm good.
Ow! You got it all wrong.
Is that why you're swinging a shotgun?
Because of that. On the desk.
Matt's father has received a photograph of himself with the kanji symbol scrawled over it.
They're gonna kill me too.
Nathan and Matt look deeply concerned.
Tell me about Molly Walker. She's seen this symbol, she's seen you, and she calls you the Nightmare Man.
She's looking for me.
Yeah, and she saw you looking back at her, and now she won't wake up, so whatever you did, undo it now.
Sorry, I'm protecting myself.
Protecting yourself from who?
Which one of her kids are you? You're the politician, right?
My mother is sitting in jail for Kaido's murder. They both received similar threats, both taken from the same picture, the same photograph. You were all connected.
Your folks, Kaido, Lindemann, me, we found each other years ago. We thought we could help people, save the world.
The only thing you've ever wanted to save is your own ass.
Still angry, huh, man? Feel better slapping the cuffs on your dad, make you feel good?
Oh, it's starting to, yeah.
This is a waste of time. Just read his mind so we can get the hell out of here.
What did you say? You could read minds? Yeah. Go ahead.
Go on.
Both Matt and his father assume expressions of intense concentration. Matt tries to break through, but something is blocking him.
Painful, isn't it?
How do you know that? Can you read minds too?
See, man, you and I, we're not so different after all. Come on, unlock these cuffs. I'll tell you everything I know. I promise.
Maiko is playing the piano when Monica arrives home. Nana comes to greet her.
Isn't it wonderful? We've got a musician in the house again.
Nana moves away, looking a little upset, and Monica comes to stand beside Micah.
Nobody's touched that thing since my mother died.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nana said I could, but if...
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Please, keep playing.
I just really miss your mom.
Yeah, I do.
I miss mine too.
Oh, I'm sure she's fine. And missing you right back.
She wouldn't even tell me where she was going.
You gotta remember, she cares about you. I know new things can be scary. My mom always said, God doesn't give us anything we can't handle.
Monica joins Micah in playing the piano.
You play piano too?
No. Never learned.
She stares down at her fingers dancing across the keys, apparently of their own accord, and looks afraid. She jumps up from the piano stool in fright.
You don't play. And what was that?
She hurries off. Mahinda is on the phone.
Yes?
I've been trying to reach you for hours. Where have you been?
I'm at work. Why?
It's Molly. She won't wake up and her vitals are getting worse. I'm running out of options here.
Take her to the hospital.
And say what? That she's trapped in a nightmare? No, I'm taking her into the company.
You can't be serious. These are the people we're fighting against.
Molly won't last. Not like this. They are the only people who can understand what's happening to her.
Don't do this. The moment you trust them with what you care about most, they'll have you. Don't forget whose side you're on.
I'm on her side.
Matt's releasing his father from handcuffs.
All right, you're gonna tell us everything. Every crime, everyone you've ever worked with.
Everything.
I'm so sorry I left you. It wasn't easy for me.
Don't.
I need to say it. When I found out I could read minds, it was a temptation. I was weak. I used people. I was a real scumbag. You. Cop. So proud.
You don't get to be proud. You don't get to be anything. Just answer the questions.
You said you tried to save the world. How?
These gifts came out of nowhere. We just found each other, like we were connected somehow. Thought we were invincible. A few of us took that to heart. They started to do whatever they wanted. I did what I could to stop them.
Like what?
This thing we can do, you and I, it only begins at reading minds, and then it becomes so much more.
More how?
I can't explain it. No, hang on. I got something I can show you, because it helped me understand it. Here, I got a bunch of stuff from back then. It's in here. Oh, come on.
Matt reluctantly follows his father into a back room. The moment he does, the door slams shut behind him. Nathan hurries over to it.
Matt!
Dad! Hey, what's going on?
Oh, is it there? Hey, what the hell's going on?
Where am I?
Again, you hit me. He's bringing that wound.
While Matt has found himself trapped in a cell with a vicious guard, Nathan has kicked open the door and stepped out onto the Devereaux roof after the nuclear explosion has wiped out the city.
This is impossible. We saved the city.
He looks out at burning buildings, ash falling about him like snow.
Let me out! It's a mistake. I'm not supposed to be here.
No one's supposed to be here.
Pleasant dream.
Matt's father comes out of the back and picks up a jacket from the kitchen table. He heads out of the apartment and down the corridor with a look of smug satisfaction on his face. Ando Masahashi, Tokyo, Japan. A man wearing white cotton gloves carefully unravels a small scroll with Japanese lettering on it, then scrutinizes it under a magnifying glass. Ando is sitting beside him. The man says, "Incredible." The ink and parchment look authentic. "Where did you get these?" Ando replies, "They were left to me by a friend. These are the more damaged scrolls. I must know what they say. Please, will you help me?" The man sighs, then says, "To be the first to read these, I think I can help. Thank you, sir." The man paints clear liquid onto the scroll, then runs his magnifying glass down its length. There we are. Let's see, shall we? On a computer screen, all the characters are visible. Hero's message begins, "Dear Ando." The man gives Ando a suspicious look, and Ando smiles nervously, saying, "It's a common name." The message continues, "I can't believe I'm helping the legendary Takeso Kensei accomplish the very trials I read about as a boy. Battling the angry Ronin, climbing the frozen waterfall, finding the single crimson peony. Each trial brought us closer to rescuing Yoriko's father. It's like living in a storybook, only more tiring." Feudal Japan, 1671. Aiko rushes over to a weary Hira and Kensei and says, "You have it? The final map to Whitebeard's camp?" Kensei hands it over, then says, "Now we can find Whitebeard and rescue your father." Hiro's message continues. It was all going according to plan. The rescue and the blossoming love between Kensei and Yaiko. Monika has carved a tray full of tomato roses.
Monika, I think I know what happened with the piano. What can I say? I guess I'm just a musical genius. Or something else. Look, it's been a hard couple days for me. In fact, it's been a hard couple years, so I think I'm just gonna take a nice long nap and sleep it off. Monika, do you remember last night when I said I was able to rig the pay-per-view on the TV? Yeah.
Micah puts his hand on a television screen and turns it on. Monika looks on with growing astonishment as he changes channels without moving, then turns it off and gives her a winning smile.
Well, I lied. I think it runs in the family. I mean, maybe not exactly like me, but my dad could walk through walls.
DL?
Yeah. And my mom? Don't even get me started on my mom. But I think what's going on with you is more like this.
A comic book?
Yeah. This is St. Joan. She's a muscle mimic.
A what?
A copycat. Whatever she sees, she can do. That's just like what you did with me and the piano.
Copycat. Look at this. I shouldn't know how to do this. I saw it on TV. Oh my God.
And so if this is really happening to you, maybe we ought to go test it out.
Monika looks thoughtful. Molly is lying unconscious in a bed at the company's facility. Bob joins Mahinda.
I didn't know where else to go.
Oh, you made the right choice. We're going to do everything we can for Molly. In the meantime, we have someone else who needs us, and we would like you to bring her in.
You're sending me into the field?
Yes.
Molly needs me here.
No. Molly is our top priority here, but we need you out there doing the good work you do helping others like her. And, you're gonna need this.
This is how you help people, by tasering them.
Well, that's just standard procedure to make sure everyone's safe. A lot of the people we encounter aren't in control of their abilities. But trust me, it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
Nikki comes striding down the corridor, throws Mahinda against a door, and grabs Bob by the neck. She holds him up against the wall with his feet dangling above the floor. He's choking until Nikki is hit by a shot from Mahinda's taser gun. She collapses and releases Bob. Bob nurses his throat.
What the hell is going on here?
Mahinda looks completely bewildered. Monika and Micah.
So do you want to try something really rad? Like a kickflip?
They watch a boy perform a skateboard trick.
Slam dunk?
Monika seems more interested in some girls skipping with two ropes.
Well, I always sucked at double dutch.
You want something, lady?
Images of a girl dancing through the ropes are reflected on Monica's eyes.
Yeah. I want to jump in. And don't call me late.
Micah gives Monika an encouraging nod and a smile. She jumps into the two spinning ropes and starts performing the same moves as the girl she was watching. Micah laughs and waves as she expertly navigates her way between the refreshing ropes. She is smiling too, looking completely exhilarated. Peter follows Caitlin into her flat.
It's not much.
I sleep in a pub, remember?
His gaze is immediately drawn to a series of paintings leaning against the wall.
You paint?
It's what I do to relax.
These are amazing.
Blue hillsides and green skies.
You're talented.
Is that why you kidnapped me? So you could sort through me things? Don't start liking me less now that you're peeling away the mystery.
I just wanted to see where you lived. Lie on a real bed, maybe.
No one's stopping you?
She sits down on the bed. Peter is looking out of the window.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Then what is it that's on your mind?
You were right. Whatever I was, whoever I am, I have to face it.
He picks up the box and sits down next to her.
Nothing that I find in this box is going to change anything. Whatever my life was before, this is where I want to be now, with you. Okay?
Okay. Get on with it then.
Peter steals himself, then opens the box. There's an airline ticket inside, as well as a passport. He opens it to the page bearing his photograph.
Peter Petrelli?
From New York.
Looks like you were leaving. This is an open ticket, New York to Montreal.
There's a photograph of Peter with Nathan.
Who's that?
I wish I knew. None of this tells me how I got here, what I'm supposed to do.
He stares at an empty canvas and images briefly float across it. He moves towards it with purpose.
What is it?
He reaches out, almost able to touch the tantalizing images floating in front of his eyes. He picks up a palette and brush.
Peter?
He blinks and his eyes turn white.
Oh my God, Peter!
He starts painting broad strokes onto the canvas, his focus completely on the image he is creating. Caitlin watches him in horror, covering her mouth with her hand. All the chairs have been put on the tables at the pub. Ricky finds the blonde woman reading a menu.
You know, I've never been in an Irish pub before. Do you have haggis?
That's Scotland, love. We have stew. And mussels. And stew. But I'm closing up.
Oh, well, yeah, I was hoping you could help me. I'm looking for a guy.
Best time for that's right after a football match. Fellas are locked out of their minds. Up for anything.
His name's Peter Petrelli.
Never seen him before.
Never seen him before?
No.
Cool, thanks.
She starts to walk away, but then stops.
The thing is, I talked to a few people from the docks. They said they saw him in here.
I don't know what to tell you.
So either you're lying or all those other people are lying. It's just kind of hard to tell who's lying, you know?
Like I said, I don't know this Peter. Is that it now?
I guess so.
Sorry I couldn't be more help.
Yeah. So am I.
She locks the door, fusing it shut with electrical sparks, then turns and directs an intense beam of light straight out from her palm. Bob.
You gave us quite a scare.
I'm sorry about earlier. I'm feeling much better now. Thank you.
Oh, we knew it wouldn't be easy. Multiple personality disorder is a terrible affliction, but we're gonna get you well again. I promise.
Thank you.
Bob walks out of Nikki's room, leaving Mohinder at her bedside. He immediately starts undoing her restraints.
You out of here?
I can't leave.
Nikki, you're a prisoner.
I'm not. I came here on my own. I gave up my son to be here. I'm sick. I didn't think anyone could ever understand my problems. What I've done. What I'm capable of. These are the only people that can help me.
Mohinder looks troubled. Nathan is still standing on the Devereaux rooftop, with the ash raining down onto him from the burning wrecks of buildings devastated by the blast.
Nathan. Peter? Peter! Peter, I knew it! I knew you could survive! You... You can't run from me, Nathan.
Nathan is confronted by the disfigured version of himself. There's a baby in Matt's cell.
Baby.
Hey, you gotta get this baby out of here! Hey!
When Matt turns back, his wife is holding the baby.
Janice?
What are you doing in here? Is that... Janet, is that baby mine? You said I wasn't the father.
But you read minds. You looked into my head and you saw the truth, but you still left.
No. No, I didn't. I didn't know.
You left him. Just like your father left you. Just like you're gonna leave Mom.
No! No, Janice! Janice! Hey!
Disfigured Nathan.
You're no hero. Everybody's dead because of you. We have to stop it. You can't. You don't want redemption. You want ignorance. Let's go to the edge. You won't feel anything. You never do. You don't know me. I am you.
Two fights break out. One on the Devereaux rooftop between Nathan and his disfigured alter ego, and another in the cell between Matt and his guard. The two fights are identical, with Matt taking the role of the alter ego and Nathan mirroring the moves of the guard. Matt pauses for a brief moment, the images jarring in his mind. The two fights begin to merge into one, taking place between Matt and Nathan in the back room of apartment number 9.
Nathan, wake up!
Nathan has been attempting to strangle Matt. He suddenly snaps out of it and rolls off of him. The room is wrecked.
What happened?
Now we know why Molly calls him the Nightmare Man.
You stopped him. How'd you do that?
I don't know. He's gone.
What are you looking for?
We need to know where he went. Why he's doing this. Something to...
What?
I knew this was a con. I knew I couldn't trust him.
Matt flings paperwork aside in a rage. Nathan bends down and picks up a torn-out photograph of Bob.
You know where he's headed. That's Bob. He's one of them.
He runs the company.
Not for long. Looks like he's next.
Ando is looking at the next scroll, which reads, "So, we were on our way to take on Whitebeard and save Aiko's father. History was back on track, but the battle with Whitebeard was going to put love on hold."
According to the map, Whitebeard's camp should be right over this ridge.
We should leave Yaiko here then. Yaiko-san, ここで待ってください.
Hiro says, "Yaiko, please stay here for your safety. My father taught me well the way of the sword and will not stay behind. I will fight with you to rescue him. Kensei and Hiro nod at one another, and Kensei says, "As you wish, my love. We will defeat Whitebeard together." He takes her hand in his. They drop hands when they see Whitebeard's vast encampment.
Right after we defeat his entire army.
Hiro gulps nervously, and Yaiko and Kensei look equally concerned. The message continues. "Yes, Ando, tonight we will attack. Three of us against an army. I fear..." Ando looks enthralled, then says, "Fear what? What's next? I can't read the next words." The technician replies, "These are still too damaged. I need more time. I'm sorry. But I must know what happens next. With the army, with Yaiko, does Hiro survive?" When the technician says, "How would I know?" Ando looks exasperated.
"Fire started around 8 o'clock.
Monica is flicking through TV channels. She lands on a kung fu movie and immediately copies a move. Micah sidles into the room, smiling as he watches her trying out her new martial arts skills. She kicks out, then turns a somersault in the air.
"Oh, that is amazing."
"Yeah, I know. But what do you think it all means, having these powers?
I think it means that we're special.
But why? I mean, all this time I've been praying to God to give me direction, to show me what I'm supposed to do with my life. Of all the things he could give to me.
Maybe we're supposed to do something with these.
I just wish I knew what. It is way past your bedtime." "Hey, this is our little secret, right? All right.
I know it's scary at first, but this is a good thing. I promise."
They hug.
"I'm just looking for some answers. That's all."
Monica looks puzzled, then opens the front door. Her visitor has been banging on the screen, which is still closed.
"Monica Dawson?"
"Yes?"
"I'm Dr. Mahinda Suresh. May I?"
"Can I help you?"
"I'm sure you have lots of questions about what's happening to you. Well, I have some answers."
The blonde woman answers a call in her car.
"Hi. Yep, I'm fine. Weather could be better. No, not yet, I will. He's here. Had to improvise a little, but... No. I mean, I just had to use a little persuasion, that's all. No, it was just some guy. And I... All right, I killed him, okay? What is the big deal? What do you mean? Now? This is my assignment, and I almost have him. What if I promise not to... Fine. I'll come home now. Sorry, Daddy. It won't happen again."
The woman hangs up her phone, looking petulant, then drives away in the pouring rain. Peter is still painting, with Caitlin pacing beside him. He puts the final touches on the picture, then blinks and his eyes return to normal.
"What happened?"
"I don't know. Apparently you're a genius of an artist, too."
"I painted that. How?"
"How do you shoot lightning from your hands? All I know is your eyes went dead and you couldn't be stopped. Until there was this. Is that us?"
"I don't know, maybe. What do you think this is?"
"A church?"
"Street signs are in French."
"Could be Montreal. Like the plane ticket."
Hello? What?
Ricky is lying dead on the floor of the pub.
Come on, look at me. Hey, this is my fault. Okay, they were looking for me.
She starts hitting and slapping him, then collapses in his arms. They both sink to the floor.
I gotta find him, okay? I gotta find him. I can't hide anymore. I can't hide.
To be continued.